Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to a new episode of Let's Humanize the Workplace. I almost forgot the title of the show, and this is the phase that I'm in right now. So at the moment, well, I need to first do an introduction. So my name is Vivian Acqua, and I'm a certified DEI consultant, but also a certified ESDP business owner. So for those of you who are busy with inclusive procurement, know that I have a certification as well. And also at the moment, I do have an end of year offer. If you go to this particular link, so bit.ly dash EY SAMP DEI 24, you can find my end of year offer in the newsletter that I'm sharing, and also know that I can support you and your organization with inclusive processes and inclusive initiatives as well. So DEI, keynote, workshop, training, you know that I'm the girl, I'm the woman to help you. But today, because that's the promo, that's enough of the promo, but today, I want to highlight the conversation about the World Menopause Day tomorrow. 18th of October is a yearly celebration of menopause, and I just want to address that. I want to address something that happened to me, but before I do that, I want to bring on my guest speakers for today. So let me bring them up one by one and also introduce them through their bio. So first up, I have Nicolette. Nicolette is a solo founder of Womanship, where she champions women equity through collective understanding and drives change with innovative solutions. And then I have Saron. Saron empowers women aged 40 to 60 as a coach and a trainer, enhancing their self-confidence and energy to thrive through using their experiences. And last but not least, Sinead, she is a career and leadership coach who empowers women to navigate the workplace and enhance their impact and achieve their outstanding results. So why I came up with this topic and with this individual conversation is I have reached a new level of womanhood, and that is that I'm going through menopause. And I was just literally telling the ladies about me feeling like alien. So for those who have seen the Alien movie, I haven't seen all of them, but you can imagine how I feel. And I feel like Sting says, I'm a little alien in the jungle or something like that. And I'm just like, I don't know who I am anymore because of the hot flashes, because of the sweating, because of all these hormones and changes that I'm going through. And I know that I'm really vulnerable with this, but I also want us to normalize a conversation about a topic that is affecting every woman. And those who don't identify as women, right? So those who are non-binary, it can affect them as well. And I want us to be transparent about it because it impacts our productivity. And that's why I'm bringing everybody here. So first off, Nicolette, can you share why we need to humanize the workplace?
Well, I think historically, the world and workplaces have been built around male norms. So I think we need to reshape not just workplaces, but the world on women's experiences. And so that for me means recognizing everything that a woman goes through, from maternity to miscarriages, but also in terms of humanizing the things that are thought of as secondary skills, the softer skills that we have as women in terms of empathy and listening and understanding. So then there's another layer in terms of pay, and that comes into it and not being seen as equal. So I think in order to humanize workplaces, we actually need to womanize them. That's a good one.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think we need to womanize the workplace so that, you know, we're 50% of the population, and mm-hmm. it's only by being 50%, having 50% of a say, we can create a world that's valid for all of us.
Yes, I agree. Thank you, Nicolette. And Saron, what are your insights on this question?
Yes, for me, I was the whole time I was thinking, Humanize. I think we have to make it like Nicolette says, feminize or womanize, or what mm-hmm. kind of words you have for that, because in that environment, menopause will be celebrated. Like, yeah. Hey, we are going into a new stage, and we are thriving into our leadership, into our knowledge, etc., etc. And that is why, yes, the workplace has to feminize or womanize. I don't know the word, the best word for it, but I think we understand.
Both, yes. Thank you. And Sinead?
A similar theme. I think one of the things that we really need to address is how much of what's natural for a woman exists with a layer of stigma and shame.
Yeah.
So from having a period,
yeah,
and hiding your sanitary towels and tampons to go to the toilet, from having to pretend everything's okay, from endometriosis and many reproductive issues that women have. I think one of the most shocking statistics I learned is that endometriosis is as common as asthma, and I don't know what it's like in the Netherlands, but in the UK and Ireland, we don't have every doctor's surgery, every general practitioner's surgery would have an asthma clinic. And I have never heard of an endometriosis clinic supporting women in that way. And then that goes right through. And as Nicolette said, miscarriage, even the challenges of pregnancy, you're just expected to carry on. And then I feel like menopause has been one of the slow to come through topics of discussion. But yeah, this stigma and it being the butt of jokes for so many years. And so for me, humanizing the workplace is acceptance of people, but women especially, because they're who I care about most. that we all live through these things, and that we deserve better support, understanding, recognition for how flipping awesome we are. We go through all this stuff. We still carry the load of the world on our shoulders. We carry families, businesses, you know, the whole heap, and we rock it. And actually, we deserve to be recognized for that.
Definitely.
Yes,
definitely.
Yes. Can I add something? Maybe like a joke, but it was not a joke. That was when I was interviewing a manager about to openness about menopause on the workplace and how to support women in the workplace. And that man, like 38 years or so, said, "Well, can women do nothing themselves?" Ooh. So yes, that is. So, but this is a young man.
Yeah.
So yeah, that humanized the workplace means that these young men and these older men also recognize that that is not the problem of the woman, but it is the problem of how we look at these kind of topics.
And it's a fair point that you're bringing up, Saron, because recently here in the Netherlands, they have a show for Orlando. Orlando is now 11 at the moment right now, where in the beginning I was a bit struggling about talking to him about periods, having a period. And now there is a children's show, which is very educational, but also shares the trials and tribulations of womanhood and going through that period. And I do feel like it's my duty and my honor also to share and also pass on the baton to his dad as well. We both share the different phases of a womanhood and to be able to support the womanhood, right? So with this particular manager that responded in this way, I do in a way want to have grace, but I also want to be respectful to the women who are going through this. Like, we need to open up this conversation, because for me personally, it's so new. And I always thought, well, it's an older woman problem. Since I'm not an older woman yet. I mean, look how fresh I am. I always felt like this topic is not knocking on my door until it is knocking on my door. Because this level, it doesn't discriminate. There are some women that even go to the perimenopause due to certain operations. But some women also without any operation, they still can tap into perimenopause, right? So to be fully transparent and to disclose my age, I do that from time to time. I turned 44 this year. I'm not sharing so that you have to the ladies have to share, but I do want to know, Saron, starting from you and then going around, just quickly, how did you discover this new phase in your life?
Oh, that is a wonderful question. Your reaction on, wow, I'm this young, how is this possible? And that happened to me the first time I was going out in the city and had a beautiful jacket on, feeling hot and happening, into a shop. And then I suddenly thought, wow, is it hot or what? And then the woman behind the counter said, and I was like, well, this is not funny. I'm a bit too young for this. And I was really upset about her reaction. And of course, later I thought, yeah, she was so right. But that was my first encounter with the perimenopause. And fortunately, I wrote a book about it, Everything You Should Know About Menopause. And so I also thought I knew everything about menopause. But for me, when it became really like the most heavy period in those years, I went very depressed. And I was like, In Dutch, we would say, "Set me by the by the garbage." Yeah, put me with the garbage. There's nothing with me. I cannot do anything. I don't like anything. The life is over for me. So I went into I would say a dark hole. Now I say it's the best time of my life. So yeah, this is my experience. With the menopause.
And may I ask you, are you in the peri or the mid section, or are you post?
No, I am really post menopause. Mm-hmm. I had my menstruation when I was quite late. I was 65. Okay. 65 or 56. That's also very difficult. In Dutch, we say it the other way around. Mm-hmm. But the 5 and the 6. So
yeah, 56. Yeah.
Yes. Normally, most women go through that stage like 51, 52. Mm-hmm. And if I may add, Black women go earlier and stay longer. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was quite late, and but the perimenopause phase was quite long.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And also, Sinead, what about you?
So I didn't have any of the, I didn't get hot, or I also have the Marina coil, which means I don't have periods. So I had no signals that anything was changing in my periods. And also, which means I will never know where I am in the whole scale of it. But I'm 49, and I had my second daughter at 39. And a couple of years after having her, I was still like, I have no energy, brain fog, you know, those kinds of things. But I just felt it's having a young baby, I have two kids, two businesses, all this is going on. But it was actually during COVID. I was hit a bit like Saran said. So I was hit with extreme low moods. I would something would hit me and I would be in bed crying for days, and I would just get up to feed the kids or do what I had to do and then crawl back into bed and just cry. And I remember feeling, you know, having suicidal thoughts, and it was really extreme. And the other thing, I mean, I'd been joking I had dementia for years, like my memory was just shot to pieces. But the thing, it was the low moods and rage, absolute rage. I could have taken your head off with a hatchet and not thought twice about it.
So you're saying that the mood that normally happens during a period of time, that it extended, right?
Yeah. But yeah. You see, because I hadn't had periods for so long, and I was like, what is going on with me? And I always say I'm grateful for the extremity of my symptoms, because I have none of the classic indicators. It made me go and look for answers. And so there's a big celebrity here in the UK called Davina McCall, who started talking about her experience and created a few documentaries who I got to meet this summer, actually, and thank her for. I say she saved my life, because it was only with her talking about it. Because again, I was 44. This is not what was supposed to be happening. This is not what I was led to believe menopause was going to be like. And so, yeah, I thanked her for speaking out, and I told her then that she had inspired me to share my story and to actually do something about the number of women that leave their careers because of this. But we'll talk about that more in a moment. So that's definitely my awakening.
How was it for you, Nicolette?
I think mine started probably 8 years ago. I'm 56 now. And I remember going to the doctor and saying, oh, I think I might be getting some, you know, night sweats. Mm. And he turned me away, said he actually told me to come back a year after my periods had finished. So in other words, when I was in postmenopause. And I think a lot of women experience this because they aren't aware of the range of symptoms as well. And the strange thing is, I remember my mum was very seriously ill with temperature spikes at one point with an illness. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, oh, I've got the same thing as my mum has, because I had so little knowledge around it. And I then was sitting around a pool in Ibiza with seven of my UK girlfriends, celebrating how well we were doing with life. And then the conversation turned to what was happening with our minds and our bodies in what we know as perimenopause. Yeah. And we were piecing these bits of information together. And I remember it struck me as crazy. I mean, menopause is like death. We are going to go through it in one way, shape or form as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, how is it that as educated women of the world, we can have so little knowledge around a fact of our life? And it's funny, yes. I identify so much with what both Sinead and Saran said. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, the rages, the low moods, but also, you know, I did a lot of research because women don't talk about these things that are affecting us, because we feel like we're redundant, we're embarrassed, there's a fear of judgment, because we're not talking about and sharing our stories. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's just critical in so many things that women go through. And still until we start talking about them and sharing them, we won't recognize that it's 50% of the population who are going through this, and therefore be able to make change. And just very quickly, in terms of, you know, the low moods, that's something, the low moods, the rage, all very recognizable. But even though I did a lot of research into perimenopause, when I was going into the low moods, I didn't feel I could talk about it with anybody because I felt too embarrassed. I felt too ashamed. And it wasn't until a friend of mine texted me a really simple message, and she said, you know, hey, Nick, I know I can say this to you because you won't think I'm going crazy, but do you ever wake up in the morning and think, what's the point? And I burst into tears because there was someone else who was describing exactly what I was going through. And just hearing, just getting that text made me feel like I wasn't the crazy one.
Yeah.
So it's so important to share the opinion. You know, we have to start talking about it.
I can recognize in all your stories because beginning of this year, or let's say halfway through the year, because of the fact that you're getting night sweats. And for me as a neurodivergent person, I need structure. I need to have my sleep. If I don't have my sleep, then my day will not go well and I'll end up in a vicious cycle. So I thought I could manage it well, the perimenopause, also during the summertime, until I did a courageous conversation training workshop for a company. And then all of a sudden, I was talking about the wheel of power. And let's say that the manager had a hard time consuming what I had to share. And then these hot flashes showed up. And I'm just like, this is not the right time to do that because he might be thinking that I am getting this warmth from him. Well, it has nothing to do with him. But I also know that stress, it can trigger hot flashes, right? It can make it much worse. And I was just like, no, I have to go to the doctor. So for me, I had two options. I have a new doctor, and so far he has been going the extra mile to investigate and to support anything that I have when I come to him. So, but I was also aware that for so many other people, they are being misdiagnosed or not being taken seriously because of the symptoms that they are having. So I told the doctor, like, I did my research. And I'm lucky to have so many women within my inner circle that I'm open. For a Ghanaian person, I'm too open for my roots, for my culture, but I need to be open because I need to be made more aware of. Like I said, it's not a topic that it's being discussed in my culture, but I want to bring this topic to the table because if I'm going through it, so many other people that identify as a woman or don't identify as a woman are going through this phase. And the more we share our stories, the more that we can seek help, the more that we can unite. So let's say I wasn't depressive, but I did have moments where I felt lethargic or I felt like this cloud above my head. But I also knew that if I don't take care of myself and take action, I will activate depression, especially now with the sun being away and the dark days. I need to be aware how I can support myself. So I went to the doctor and asked him, like, can I get, you know, something to support me? So he did his research and gave me an estrogen trial patch. And know that there is another hormone that you have to count, but you have to use both, right? I think Saron or maybe Nicolette, you can share that, but know that I already have anticonception medicine and I'm using that patch as a counterbalance to help me. At least I'm sleeping better. And when the patch is not patched right, my sleep will be disrupted, which happened yesterday as well. Being neurodivergent, I also need to bring up this PDF, and it's a recent research that talks about, it's an investigation that explores the complex interplay of menopause and neurodivergence, where it says that participants were more likely to report a decrease in workplace experiences than work performance in response to the disruptive effects of menopause on neurodiversity. It's important that managers see these experiences of work so that they support their people better. I can definitely share a link. It's a research that came out this year, and basically it says that the way that women who are neurodivergent, when they are going through a menopause, it feels like a double whammy. It feels intenser, much worse. It's not a marathon or not a comparison, But no, there is a study where women who are neurodivergent and those who are neurodivergent going through a menopause, that they experience the impact far more worse. And I wanted to bring that above the table as well. So there's so much that I want to ask you.
Can
but
I
then
just,
I also
shall I explain what is happening with you? And because when what is happening when you are on anticonceptive pill, your own hormones are stopped, like locked out. Like you can say you are in a menopausal situation. They they bring you into menopause because you don't have an egg, etc. So and when you get that estrogen, then it interferes with your own hormones. So I would say you better choose for helping your own system with estrogen and progesterone is the one you were looking for, because the anticonception is stopping your hormones, and with the estrogen you are.
Okay, this is going a little bit into details, but I have a spiral.
Spiral. Mirena.
So that's what I'm using. Yeah, that I don't know what it is in English, but
the Mirena. It's the same as I have. Yes. Mirena Kyle.
I'm using Mirena. This is going very detailed now, but I'm using Mirena. So
that gives you
sense. Then I understand why you are getting because the Mirena, it's giving you a progesterone.
Yes, exactly.
And then you can counteract it with
estrogen.
I understand.
I also need to share this disclaimer as well. Just one disclaimer. The four of us, we are here to share our stories and also the stories of other people. Yes. We are not here to share medical advice because the medical advice is done by the experts. Just as a disclaimer. Nicolette, you can go.
I was just going to add something in terms of the neurodivergency, and what's happening is a lot of women in their menopausal years are now being diagnosed as neurodivergent.
Yeah.
So it's almost two things coming together, which makes it very challenging in terms of everybody's understanding overall. And the second thing is, you know, I've spoken a lot with Saron about the use of hormones. And for me, you know, my objective with womanship, for example, is that women have all the choices in front of them to understand what they mean. Because, you know, at one point there was a big scare about using hormones, and now we know that wasn't true. They're one of the safest things that we can take. But I think it's also important to think about other factors, because not all women decide to take them or need to take them. Because I think, you know, and Saron, I've spoken to a lot about this, when women start to look at the causational factors of where they are in their life, that can also reduce the menopause symptoms.
Yeah.
It's very important that you say that, Nicolette, because you said something about stress, Vivian, and that's so true, because all the symptoms become worse with stress. So the first thing you should do is, where can I have less stress? Change something to have less stress.
Then I wouldn't be doing the work that I do or live in the country that I would be living in if I want less stress, because I don't know where I need to be. I think it would be Wakanda or my own island.
Oh, maybe,
to de-stress as well. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot you can do to manage stress.
Of course.
That's some of the work I do. Yeah, I know. But it is an important thing, because what I see with a lot of women, and I totally agree with everything that's being said, is because we have so many pressures. And I see, especially for women in the workplace, they run their battery down to the bottom every Monday to Friday. Yeah. And then they try their best to recharge over the weekend. But of course, a lot of life happens at the weekend as well. And so one of the things that we really have to work on is how you recharge your battery every single day.
And
that's a massive way that you will reduce your stress and start to better manage symptoms, whether you're using medicine or not. Stress management is the absolute.
Also, Sinead, what is the one thing that has been a stress reliever for you during this phase?
Good question.
I would use something with myself and my clients called positive intelligence, which is really about how you maintain your battery. And so how you get out. So it's very much about your brain, how you manage that, how you think in a different way so that you surf life stresses instead of getting pulled under them. Mm-hmm. But I am going to give one other thing. I'm a believer in, even for a lot of women at this time, we're told exercise is the best thing, mm-hmm. but it's often not available because you have no energy and you hurt all over. I don't want to go to the gym right now.
But you can bring the gym home.
But something that helps me, and again, isn't it available to everybody, is sea swimming. I get into cold water, or, you know, a cold water swimming pool or something. Yeah. But for me, I like the nature part of it. Yeah. So I've been afraid of the sea for most of my life. But now I can be found in the sea at least twice a week, and it sorts my head out very well.
I agree with swimming. I've been swimming for a while, and now I'm also recovering from my ankle injury. So I've been indoor rowing for a very long time now at the moment. But my favorite thing, and it's maybe a little bit paradoxical, is going to an infrared sauna, beating heat with heat.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
nice.
Interesting.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Nicolette, what's it for you?
I think one of the big things, and it's something I guess womanship is based on, is actually talking about it. The line for womanship is share more, worry less. And that's not just about menopause, it's about any area that women go through. We tend to hold it to ourselves. We don't share it through embarrassment, through shame, fear of judgment. And whether it's miscarriages or depression or menopause, I actually think talking about it is huge in terms of, A, when you start talking about it, you realize that other people are experiencing similar things.
Yeah.
Just that feeling of knowing you're not alone
takes
away some of the stress. In other words, helps you worry less. So talking about it, finding women to talk about it or groups to find out what their symptoms are, because, you know, the list of symptoms now, I think when I was researching it was 38 to 45, and now it's 51, 52 plus. So,
and we haven't even mentioned the weight gain, right? Which is
the weight gain is insane. But for me, the ones that are the least talked about are the ones that affect your brain. The ones that, because as we've said, it's an actual change in your brain, the same way as when you go through puberty or when you become a mother. It's the same changes in your brain that occur. So when you start looking at things like brain fog. Increased anxiety is something I had huge issues dealing with. You know, I used to be able to travel on my own, take huge teams traveling, and now to like check I've booked the right ticket and when I'm in the airport or cooking dinner. I used to love dinner parties. Now they bring me dread. There's an anxiety around things that I did beforehand. And there are a lot of these symptoms that we have that aren't talked about and aren't shared. And the complexity is, every woman will have a different mix of symptoms.
I love that, Nicolette. I'm all about the brain. And so, that is. And I think one of the other things that we don't talk about is the symptoms that cause the most embarrassment and therefore shame.
Yeah.
So things like, you know, the possibility of having a blood flood in a public space and mm-hmm. having to, you know, suddenly, how do I deal with this? I need to change my clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, urine incontinence. And Nicola, I'm a great believer in community and support, and that's also how I work and build networks. But I found one of the most helpful things is even Facebook groups where people are so open and supportive about mm-hmm. symptoms, and you don't necessarily know the people, and you read it and you realize, oh gosh, some people have it so bad, you know, the bed can be totally drenched from either sweat or urine or both, mm-hmm. you know, and these are things that women are dealing with alone and terrified to tell mm-hmm. anybody else about it because of the humiliation of it. When yeah. it's your body, it's kind of natural, is it? It is, but it doesn't feel it. It feels so
no, it doesn't feel
unfair
like that.
And yeah. horrendous and all of those things. But at least when you know you're not alone, then you can start to face it all a bit more easily and feel able to even go. I mean, even telling the doctor some of these things is a huge deal. Never yeah. mind talking to a friend or a family member.
I do want to add, if you don't find a doctor that supports you, understands you, I don't know how it is in your country, but I do know in the Netherlands and certain other countries that there are these women clinics that can help you out. So if you feel like your doctor is not, you know, addressing your needs in a way that is supportive, find other ways to get that support that you need. So whether you're listening to here or going to the different communities or reading or I'm forgetting her name. The lady, she's called Mel Robbins. She interviewed somebody regarding menopause. She also has a good podcast on YouTube as well. And find the different outlets. Find your truth. But for me personally, what's very important is I'm a Black woman. Mm-hmm. And as a Black woman, menopause is experienced differently. I've been hearing horror stories that we have it longer, which I'm just true. Like, I'm just starting. I'm just starting like 3 months or 4 months in, and you're telling me that I'm getting it longer. And I'm just like, well, I want to brace myself and be supportive and find the grace to embrace this new womanhood level of phase so that I can also support those who are going through that phase or want to know more. So I'm maybe being perceived as the oversharer, or there she goes again, there she talks again, but I would rather overshare. I would yes. rather say more about this topic than let it bombazzle you the way that it did for me, right? So I want to address the questions, because I feel like we not that I don't mind us going off script, but I do want to address certain questions that are really relevant for menopause in the workplace, right? So we talked about a few misconceptions. Saron, I haven't heard you, so let me start with you. In what ways would you suggest improving communication in menopause? And let's each one of us share one way.
Okay, then I think, because it is, of course, a very good question, mm-hmm. the absolute most important is that we change the idea of menopause, of what it is, because mm-hmm. we tend to see it as the most difficult period in our time, in our life, that we only go backwards, that the best years are gone, etc., etc. But yeah. the truth is, the best years are to come.
Yeah.
So there is a reason why you are transitioning into your leadership, into your sovereignty as a wise woman, and if that is seen in the workplace, then the employer will Well, treasure all the women. Oh, do you have your hot flash? Well, come, we have the program to help you further into your leadership, etc., etc. So that it should be celebrated as something important in the life of a woman. And yes, that is thinking that would be the most important change I would love to see, that that the employer doesn't say something like, oh, you can pick your hormones and come back, because really the whole hormone story for me is like disempowering for women, like we are all hormones. That is not true. We are becoming the wise sovereign woman who is, you are ready to lead. That is, sorry for my passion.
No. I appreciate your passion. And I'm going to go back the other way. So, Nicolette, what do you believe needs to be part of the communication regarding menopause?
I think there are so many great schemes in place to get equity for women in the workplace. And my biggest challenge with those is, as women, we don't understand ourselves because we're not talking about the things that we go through.
Yeah.
So until we start sharing our experiences, until we start taking away the shame, I don't think these schemes can ever work, because we don't understand ourselves as a whole, and therefore we can't advocate for what women need. So I think there needs to be a huge thing done with women in terms of creating safe spaces where we can talk about what we're going through, realize we're not alone, and actually understand that we have support of half of the population. So many things we go through individually are actually commonly shared problems. Once we start being able to do that and talk about them as women, we will have the power in numbers to change things and to make the workplace more of a female-friendly environment in every respect, not just in menopause, but as we've touched on, all the issues that women go through.
Yes.
Yeah. In the States at the moment right now, this is the joy of going through the menopause phase, where I know a lot, but to put words under it or to add labels, I've lost my train of thought, but I know that I will definitely find it out. And also, before the end of the year, I'll make a blog post where I'll definitely share the different links and the different videos. But there is a menopause documentary out right now in the US, which I hope that will be available in the Netherlands or in Europe as well. It's a huge documentary where they interview different women, different backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds as well, where they share the different journey of menopause, and they talk about it and they normalize it. And I know that this particular documentary is also part of the curriculum, because so many doctors don't know ish about menopause, and so many people don't know ish about menopause. So what I'm doing at the moment right now is, any WhatsApp group that I have women on, I've sent them a link of this particular conversation. Because it's a must watch, must listen conversation. And I hope that we can, maybe we should do it more often, maybe once per quarter, once per half year, see where the status is at, but also keep the conversation alive, so that it's not this invisible thing that one woman goes through, right? That's what I want. So as a communication, this is my way of investing in that, is using this this particular panel conversation as a stepping board to open up the conversation in the workplace. That's what I hope.
Wow.
Sinead.
Nice.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yes. I couldn't agree more with everything that each person has said. And I suppose the layer I would add to it then is, one of the biggest frustrations I have is how many women are stepping down or stepping out of their careers because of perimenopause, menopause, because they don't know that's what's happening. There isn't the awareness. they're not getting the support, there isn't the research, and so I'm on a total mission to stop the menopause talent drain that is happening.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We, as Sarana said, the best is yet to come. There's so much research out there that says how much more emotional intelligence, how much stronger decision makers we are, how much better we become at managing stress, how much more innovative we become. And I've noticed just working with women, how much more purposeful and driven we become at this time of life to have a positive impact on the world. And these are the leaders that we need, and we cannot have them walking out of the door. And so this is the thing that we need to change. We need to know what's happening, get the support in place, talk about it, and keep this amazing source of talent that we will all lose out on.
Yes. It's just
so important.
So
when you have a look at burnout that happens, it's one of the highest rates of burnout. And one of the things is, because our hormones are changing, our hormones have made us look outwardly to take care of everybody, whether it's families or putting it all into work.
Yeah.
And what happens is, a lot of women then come to a conflict state, which they're not realizing is a brain change, when all of a sudden work becomes too heavy. They're not enjoying it anymore because they're not understanding what's happening within their bodies. And the number of women who I speak to who say, I think I'm going through burnout or about to burn out. And I'll be like, go and check your hormones, because that conflict is often what causes it. But because, as you said, there's so little research, so little understanding, so little self-knowledge, women will then burn out from their careers. So
Can I add to that? We're in our passion. And they go looking for the external factors. And of course, life has lots of it. We're suddenly at our most responsible time. Our children are older. Our parents are aging. We have all these factors, life things happening.
So many things.
That it's, of course, we blame it all on stress. And of course, stress is hurting us and making the symptoms worse, but it's looking at, well, what's going on inside as well as that. And then we start.
And also, society puts a lot upon us, right? And also the outside. But I just want to tweak in, highlight. I found the documentary name. So it's The End Factor. It's available in the US, and hopefully it will be, it'll come out in other countries as well. I also have a comment, which I need to share with all the panel members. So Maha, thank you for sharing this. She says, very insightful, important conversation. Indeed, women share a lot of the same experiences, and yet we do feel so alone and isolated. And that is putting that on top, as when you're going through this particular phase, you feel alone. And if you don't share that with other people, the weight of you feeling alone will feel heavier, where it can trigger, you know, it can challenge your mental well-being. It can challenge your physical well-being. So I started the show, Let's Humanize the Workplace, because I felt alone. And I knew there were other amazing people out there that really could connect with the topic, that really could connect with humanizing the workplace, because the humanity in the workplace, sometimes it's far missing. And I do believe that addressing menopause, whether it's perimenopause or whether you're going through the actual menopause phase, that we need to talk about it. One of the things that I need to share is, so throughout my whole ankle recovery journey, I've been also going to an acupuncturist as well. I believe in, you know, different ways of supporting myself. And my specialist, she told me, like, there's something with your heart. I can feel some palpitations. Do you have palpitations? And I told her, like, how does it feel? Because I don't know if I have palpitations. I don't understand that. And she said, well, there's something with your heart rhythm. I don't know what it is. I do now at the moment take medicine for high blood pressure, but that's a whole other thing as well. But then on top of it, I after 6 months, I remember somebody talking about Oprah. Oprah went through a phase where her doctor told her, like, are you going through something with heart palpitation or something like that? And she went through gazillion doctors. And know that I don't have Oprah money. Oprah has money. Oprah has money to take care of herself and go through that whole thing, right? So the fact that Oprah went through something similar like myself, and then to realize that she was going to a perimenopause phase during that time. Yep. And that is, that for me opened up a door. Like, there are so many other symptoms that can trigger perimenopause or can fool doctors whilst it is menopause.
Yeah.
Can I jump in with the, because we've often said that doctors don't know how to diagnose it and aren't aware of all the symptoms. They spend such a small amount of their time studying female only illnesses. Mm-hmm. You know, we're treated as if we are small men. And what I would advise any woman to do who is going through or thinks they may be experiencing perimenopausal symptoms is A, do the research, have a look at the list symptoms and track them, and make sure when you go to the doctor you go to them with the knowledge that you are experiencing A, B, C, D symptoms.
Exactly.
Because if we go to the doctor and expect them to come up with a solution, they have us in the surgery for how long? They're not going to really know what's going on with us. So it's really important that we don't hand over our power to doctors. We decide we go to the doctor, and if we decide that we want to have hormones, and that's a personal choice, we need to know why we're asking for them.
Yeah.
Not just thinking that, you know, we're in this instant fix economy where you take a pill and everything is better. Mm-hmm. That is not the route to go for solving your perimenopause.
It makes it less. The symptoms can be lessened, but it doesn't take it away. No, I agree.
No. You have to have
and
that.
And it is also very different for women. It can also make it worse.
Yeah.
So you be well prepared when you go to the doctor, because the doctor, the menopause is not an illness. So the doctor has not learned anything about it. So you as a woman, you must prepare, like Nicolette says, very good, and then see your doctor if you want something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because and I loved what you said, Nicolette, that you keep your power. Please keep your power as a woman and don't give it away.
Mm-hmm.
Just read, talk with each other, etc., etc.
I mean, I went to the doctor and I had a patch at one point, but I'd gone from a pill to the patch, and I was allergic to the glue and getting horrible skin burns. But I put up with it for, I think, 7-8 months before going, hang on a sec, why am I not going in and going, yes, it's better than.
Yeah.
But it's still. And when I went to the doctor and asked for topical estrogen, my doctor, who was then a woman, and she must have been mid-30s, actually turned around and said, there is no such thing as topical estrogen.
Is that the gel, right? Yeah. The lotion?
Or the spray.
Or the spray, yeah.
Exactly. I wanted to say, like, what are the ways to...
Yeah.
To
the consume? Gel changed my life.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, we're not medical practitioners,
exactly.
But there's it is that point of not accepting or not working. Yeah. I went back, I think, every 2 to 3 months for nearly 2 years. I was like, I cannot be a parent and I cannot run my business like this. Like,
somebody in this
house is going to die if I don't get this sorted out. And I don't know which one of us it's going to be. So, and I can laugh now. I wasn't laughing then, and the doctors weren't either. But that's the thing. Yeah. So there is no, there's the gels, there's the sprays, there's the patches.
You have also pills as well, pills. But find what works for you. But
there's also, just very quickly, there's also the psychological approach. And, you know, having spoken a lot to Saron, because Saron and I know each other for a long time now, and having got a lot of advice from Saron, there's also different ways that you can approach it where, you know, and it's, and this is my point, it's different for every woman. There's no criticism in terms of what you choose, but you should explore all the options, because you can also then come off those and, you know, working with Saron or talking to Saron, I know there are things in terms of how I've perceived myself which have helped change my menopause or the post-menopause symptoms, because they tell you it's going to stop. And let me just tell you, I haven't had that stop yet. But you know, one day I'm like, what?
Okay. So like, what are you doing? What?
You know, it's not going to end. It just seems to go on and on. But I have managed to manage them better with advice in terms of becoming more aware of myself and where I am, and stepping into my power and stepping in and reducing stress from that perspective. I think is really important to consider for women as well.
I think the most important thing is that women understand how much power they have, and we must stay in our power, or even grow our power, instead of thinking it's over now.
It's not over, but I do understand the internal dynamic of a shift of power change.
Yes.
Who am I? What am I going through? How am I labeling this phase? And also, I'm a neurodivergent person who has a sensory, heightened sensory, so I can smell very good. So if you smell really bad, I can smell that, unfortunately. And there was a time and a place where I was just like, who is smelling so, you know, not really good? And it was myself. And I was just like, I was mortified that I felt like I was not smelling well. How would other people think about me that way? And my friend told me, like, I don't smell you the way that you smell yourself. So we also need to change that perspective, change that narrative. Just because you're going through that phase or the emotions and the challenges yourself doesn't mean that the outside world can see it or can understand it, right? So be open to those you feel psychological safe to with, and have that conversation where you compare notes. I've been really blessed with having, like I said, women in my corner, even my coach in my corner, feeding me news articles, books, things that are supporting me. And I'm just like, okay, this is a whole new world. But if I can learn so much from you, can learn so much from others to embrace this new journey, which is not, it literally can feel like a marathon, but it can also be a mindful marathon. I want it to be a more sustainable marathon as well.
Yeah. And I think a great thing that we can do is also talk about the good bits, because we talk so much about the tough things and the challenges.
Yeah.
And I bet every one of us has got something that it's really brought for us. I have never been more adventurous in my life than I am right now. I'm much more focused on self-care than I ever was. And I certainly see with women that I've mentioned before that we just become so purpose-driven, and that impact, that positive impact we have for others, and recognizing and knowing that is a huge thing.
I value that you're bringing this topic up. For me, after this particular conversation, panel conversation, I have a date with my infrared sauna, because I need to take better care of myself. But I also know that when I do late recordings like this one with a lot of people, I need to take better care of myself. So sometimes I take a mid-afternoon nap. Why? I'm a freelancer. I can. So I do that. I don't feel guilty about that, but sometimes we don't have the access to take a nap. So maybe there is a pod in your workplace, a silent room where you can just, you know, become more mindful of where you are, so that you can pause a little bit, because we need time to pause. Nicolette, what would you say that has, what menopause has brought you as a positive thing?
I think for me, it really is that sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. I had an exceptionally, I would say, successful corporate career in advertising, marketing, big companies, and I felt purposeful in what I was doing. Mm-hmm. It's with trying to make womanship work, which is a lot of womanship. That purpose, I've never been as broke in my life. I feel like I'm working harder. Who knows whether it's going to work? But the purpose of helping women to share more and talk more about the things that they go through is this huge drive, and it's just a buzz that I can't put down until I run out of me, which it will come soon, but that sense of purpose, that sense of I want to do something that's good for other people and show how we can change the world, that for me has been something that has definitely been, I think, driven by this life stage.
Yes. I agree. Yeah. And Sarah, what's it for you?
Yeah, for me, a bit the same, but maybe the most important thing is that for the first time in my life, I am the most important person in my life. And that's so different from before the menopause, because everything is more important than me. And now I say, no, stop, wait a minute. Me first, then you.
Yeah.
And it is not egoism, but it is taking care of myself and my brain, my everything.
How can you pour into other people if you don't pour into yourself?
Exactly.
First?
I want to have a huge impact in the world when it comes to menopause. So I have to look for myself first, and then because if I want to be, how do you say that, the one to follow in my footsteps, I have to be very authentic in my leadership, and therefore that is, I think, the most important, and that is why I love the the outbursts you can have, because maybe you have no experience with that at this moment, but I hope you do, because that is the moment that you hear yourself speak your truth.
I have that. I've had that.
Listen to it. Listen to it. Because then that is when you speak your truth. You finally let all the curtains fall, the BS, and that's you. And that is what you do when you go through menopause. You come up for yourself.
I do agree upon that. And I just want to say thank you for sharing your story, sharing your truth, but also helping others with your story so that they can feel a little lighter during this journey, right? I just want to emphasize this conversation is not done by medical people. We are all four women going through different phases of the menopause, and we just want to demystify what it means when it comes to menopause and the workplace. So please reach out, connect with the individual ladies, connect with Nicolette, connect with Saron, connect with Sinead, connect with me as well. Reach out, and if you want to know more, reach out and have that conversation with them as well. So we are just getting started. I think that maybe in 4 months' time, we should revisit, where are we?
Nice.
What can we do to keep this conversation live? So thank you, ladies, for joining me at this session, and I appreciate you all. So
thank you.
Until next time, everybody.